Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. The boys are back in town. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me by my side, the ever elusive Brian E. Roach. Brian, we found you, man. You've been like Bigfoot. Welcome back, my buddy, my good pal, and my chum.
How you doing, man? Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm elusive. I like it. I'm elusive. I'm making moves. I'm all around. I'm jumping left to right. I'm up and down. I don't know where I am.
Like a ninja.
I'm a ninja. I'm a ninja. Okay.
Well, I wasn't just doing the bow thing. I'm also praying. And I'm praying not only that the Steelers have some promise. I think a lot of people took some of my words as, oh, yeah, everything's just fine. You know, I'm the meme of the little dog character sitting in the burning house. But I still think there's a little bit more promise ahead. And we're going to repeat a little bit of some of the things that I talked about, obviously, because they still pertain to this upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers, the 2-1 Green Bay Packers. Everybody sees the Packers on the schedule and at Lambeau, and immediately it's a loss on the schedule, just like the Buffalo Bills game was. A lot of people also aren't. It's kind of interesting, Brian. One of my neighbors is a very good Dallas Cowboys fan, a very big Dallas Cowboys fan.
I was going to say that first part,
yeah, good.
You can't.
Well, he's a good
there
dude.
Is no such thing as a good Cowboys fan.
It's still early for me. I haven't gotten enough coffee. He's a good dude. That's what I meant to say. And he goes, isn't like half of your defense missing or something like that, or half of your team? I'm like, hey, you're someone who's paying attention, unlike the talking heads, Aditi Kukwa, on TV. Boy, she's so giddy over her Cleveland Browns. She's such a closet Browns fan, as we talk about. And yeah, they. You know, if this were last year, and
I don't even know if she's a closet Browns fan. She's just a flat out. I mean, I don't think she's actually hiding it anymore.
Yeah,
she's just a Browns fan.
Brian, if this were last year's Pittsburgh Steelers team, and they were like, let's say 2-1, and they had beaten a Texans team that nobody had counted on being any good, playing Davis Mills, right, with Tyrod Taylor getting hurt, and then going up against Justin Fields in his first game ever, who got sacked like 50 bajillion times, everybody would just be like, oh, they're the worst 3-0 or 2-1 team in the league. We're counting on them. But the Cleveland Browns are Super Bowl contenders. On the flip side, Justin Tucker has the longest NFL field goal in history go doink and bounce in instead of out. And you know what? No one's freaking out because it's a victory. And then everybody's like, yay. I see a Steelers offense. They're getting panned, obviously. Offensive line, Big Ben. They put up numbers and left points on the field on Sunday. It wasn't necessarily pretty all the time. It's never always been pretty, especially September, early football. I kind of want some of your thoughts. Is this like the Titanic? Is the ship going down and we're all on it and it can never get better? Or I mean, I see Green Bay here. What did we have the Steelers at when we were doing this? 2-2, possibly 1-3. We have them maybe splitting the division with all three teams, including Cincinnati. I just kind of want some of your thoughts, because I look ahead and I see some games that are still winnable on the schedule. There's people who are like, oh, this is like a one-win team through like six games. Chicago Bears are not a good football team right now. The Detroit Lions, nah, they're still not a good football team, but they competed with the Ravens last weekend. The Seattle Seahawks have the worst. This is like a misnomer. And we talk about Pete Carroll and the parallels with the Seahawks and Mike Tomlin with the Steelers and slow starts. They have the worst defense in the NFL right now. So even if the Steelers don't get it done at Lambeau, I'm just, you know, I'm not all doom and gloom right now.
Is it feasible they could end up 1-6? Sure, it's a possibility. Do I think that they will? I don't know that yet. Am I disappointed in the offensive line play? You'd have to be foolish not to be. It has not been good. Did we not say at the very beginning of the season it was likely to be bad before it was good? Yes, we did. Do I think it can get better? Well, it can't get worse. You know, let's put it that way. Look, they're still not really communicating well. They're not playing as a unit. They are making a lot of mistakes. I'm more concerned with some of the things I'm seeing out of Dotson than I am, some of the things I'm seeing elsewhere. But I think that they can gel and they can get better. They certainly have room for improvement, room for growth. There is the potential for this line to definitely be a better line. Is it going to be the line of years gone by? How can you ever say they could continue to grow? They're all real young, except for Trey Turner. But, you know, even that is, you just have to wait and see. The problem is that the continued bad play of the offensive line, the continued inconsistencies within the offensive line are just going to make the offense look terrible. For those who are saying Ben is washed, Ben is done, Ben is cooked, you clearly aren't watching the game correctly or understanding football. Has Ben looked great? No. But, I mean, you're gonna blame that first interception where he gets hit while he's throwing and the guy makes an unbelievable catch to catch the ball as, oh, Ben made a bad decision? No. The second one,
The second one's not on the offensive line. It's Ben trying to be the fountain of youth and extend plays instead of get rid of the ball.
Whether he saw the guy or didn't see the guy, I can't answer that. But if he saw him, then, yeah, he forgot that his arm is 30-something years old and he's not going to throw a laser by that guy.
He said he didn't. I think what he said, he kind of said, I think, both. He said he didn't see him, but then I think he also kind of said he felt he was going the opposite direction from where he was going with the ball. He saw Juju, so he thought that the guy was running away instead of running towards or vice versa. You know, he's running horizontally there.
It's just a bad choice, and mistakes like that will happen.
And they will kill your team.
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah.
The downside here is, you know, there's 75 games in a row with a single sack, no sacks against that team. That is a consequence of having some guy named Kuchner or, you know, whatever the hell his name is.
Well, I wasn't going to get to that just yet, but this is where I was. Yeah.
You got no TJ. You got no Alex Highsmith. Ingram's playing more snaps than he needs to. And then you've got Jamar Jones and some guy from North Dakota State that I never heard of before that I didn't even know was on the damn practice squad and got elevated. I mean, you've gone from a defense that seemed to have a lot of depth to, holy crap, where is everybody except Cameron Hayward on the line? Where are all our outside linebackers? And then, you're getting that – contributes to the inconsistent play of the back end because you have no pressure, no consistency on the front end. You know, the team is not in a great position. They start to get players back, things change. So, we'll see. You can't even just say this is a one person. They lost half the defense.
Yeah. Well,
four
out of the five up front, man. I mean, there's still, okay. Wormley more than capable of filling in for Alualu or Stephon Tuitt, and you don't have either of those guys. So now you're really okay. We're going to Isaiah Buggs now. Alex Highsmith, who we've been high on, we've said that he was like one of these when we liked the grades from the Wizards at Pro Football Focus. They really liked Alex Highsmith last year. He only had 5 starts. He was spot duty for Bud Dupree. He was doing very well. I said I put up all the numbers. He was better than Jadeveon Clowney was last year. He was second to Chase Young from the Washington Football Team as far as the rookies were concerned. And you got like a perennial 2-time in a row the team's sack leader, one of the NFL's sack leaders for the last several years, a guy who probably causes a strip sack in every other game that he plays in TJ Watt, and you take that off the field and replace it with Jameer Jones, who, Brian, he's gone. Derek Tuska, who came over from North Dakota State, who, I'm standing for a little bit, but has depth. But he had like 6 tackles or something. I don't know. Did he have 6 tackles?
Dude, that guy looked like the Keystone Cops half the time out there. He did. Yeah. I mean, and it was clear. Cam Hayward's telling him. They're telling him what to do because he doesn't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
Completely understandable considering he just gets called up in the practice squad. But, I mean, you got guys running behind him. He looks lost. And he is lost. So you've got a guy on that's trying to set your edge. He doesn't actually know what he's doing on the field at the time. He's just out of sync with everybody else.
Yes.
That in and of itself is such a weakness on the defense, it's going to cause nothing but problems. So,
and then do it look, times I mean, two.
Yeah. I by the time we got to halftime, right, look, you know, I do want to address one other thing, the statement made by one receiver on the Bengals.
Oh, Tyler Boyd.
Who basically said, oh, they quit. I don't think they quit. Look, would I have gone for the field goal? No. I'd have gone and tried to get the touchdown. Yes, but then I'm aggressive, and that's what I would have done. You know, they needed the field goal, but then Boz, I mean, you could tell. When Boz is going to miss a field goal, he hasn't missed a field goal in Cincinnati in the history of time.
Yeah, and he misses he's the Bengals it's killer.
It's just not your day. It's just not going to be your day.
And the team feels that. The team feels that. It becomes absolutely a morale thing at that point.
Yeah. Do I think that, you know, there's any of that kind of nonsense? No. We'll see. We will see. So, you know, you started this off by asking me, is this the Titanic? Are we on a sinking ship? No, but there's some holes.
There are. You know? Yeah.
There's some holes in the boat that need to get patched, right? We're not quite sinking yet, but when you look over the side, you go, hey, should the water be coming in like that? You know.
Oh, man.
You got time to fix it, right? You got time to fix it. It is – we're game three. We're game mm-hmm. three, all right? Game four coming up. You got time to fix it. That's – you know, let's wait and see what happens as they move through the season. You got fans on Twitter, fans on Facebook, fans all over, you know, oh, screaming, oh, it was going to be a rebuilding year anyway. I don't know that. I mean, in some ways, that's partially true. It's certainly a rebuild of the offensive line, but it's not truly a full rebuilding season. But you have to take – I mean, it's a key component, right? It's a key component. So,
I mean
– I'm not panicked yet. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I'm not panicked
exactly
yet. I have a queasy stomach.
Well, and you know, and being there and just watching guys continue to drop like flies throughout the game, or the penalties that were committed by I think every single person on the offensive line, which is another communication type deal. I'm trying not to jump all over. Let me take your rebuild statement, because a lot of people freaked out. Okay, they couldn't keep Bud Dupree, they couldn't keep Mike Hilton, who all of a sudden has become a I want to say. Yeah, tool's a good word. Fool also. Running his mouth as if Steelers fans didn't want him or didn't. I mean, come on, dude. The money situation wasn't there for what you were asking. I felt he was replaceable. But you had the three guys, if you include Steven Nelson in that group as well. And then you lose TJ Watt, Stephon Tuitt, Devin Bush for the Raiders game. Joe Hayden for the Raiders game, and then Tyson Alualu out last week too. I mean, Alex Highsmith out. Holy crap, who the hell is your defense? You know what I mean? It's not resembling the same thing. And anybody who's talking on these national shows, NFL Network, ESPN, it's like, did you just only watch Red Zone Channel? Did you look at any lineups? Did you watch actual film or anything? Like, come on. And I know, like, I told people on the last episode, Brian, I'm a glass half full guy. And it's because of that, because I feel they get healthy. Well, every team has to deal with injuries. Like one guy here or there, I can understand. But you can't throw, like, you can't get rid of just Cam Hayward and a bunch of dudes. You know what I mean? 32-year-old Melvin Ingram playing, I don't know, like 80% of the game or whatever was here. Tuzga outsnapped Jameer Jones, because although what you're saying about Tuzga isn't wrong, Jameer Jones was really a fish out of water and was not the camp phenom that everyone felt he would be, at least this early. He's a guy that wasn't supposed to be out there, so I don't want to like pile on him too much. Both of those guys are guys you add for depth to develop to hopefully be that guy maybe in a couple of years down the road, or just in a spot starter. But when they're playing with a bunch of other spot starters, there was also a little bit of adjustments in this Bengals game. We didn't see as much of Trey Norwood for whatever reason. Arthur Mollett comes out there. They had Cam Sutton pretty much covering Boyd in the slot. He was almost following him the entire game. And you had James Pierre on the outside. Now, every now and then, they weren't necessarily throwing out their heavy DB package, but that was pretty much the look for a great portion of the game. And Pierre gets beat as well on the one Jamar Chase after the roughing the air quotes roughing the passer that I think was a nail in the coffin, because they were just in it. I said The defense, and we got to get to this. This is all relevant to the Green Bay Packers, by the way. Everybody's like, well, the Green Bay Packers, why are we talking about the Bengals? Well, everybody's talking about how do you fix this? It's the first, you know, rematch since that Super Bowl against Aaron Rodgers. That's a pretty cool note that I just saw, because the last time they had like Garrett Hundley or whoever in on this game, you get to play at Lambeau. You get to play there in October. It is a road game. It's going to be raucous. Rodgers isn't the, you know, the Cinderella to turn into the pumpkin type deal at midnight that everyone made him out to be in week one. That was a real bad overreaction. I told you I had to get my digs in right then because I knew it wasn't going to last that way. He doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. You can't expect him to turn the ball over a whole lot, but it will help if you have someone like TJ Watt pressuring them to at least get rid of it quicker. You can't. Joe Burrow had all the time in the world. That record went out the window because there was zero pressure. And I think maybe some of that is, I don't know, they were counting on like at least the front four guys to just create pressure on their own without even blitzing. That's what we saw against the Bills. When you have all of your personnel, you could do that. When you don't, you can't get away with it. And Mike Tomlin sounded like he was hesitant to send to blitz because it's going to leave someone else open on the field. When you send an extra guy, you send two guys, Aaron Rodgers will pick that apart. There's no doubt in my mind. As much as we call him overrated, he's still in the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks. I just think historically, and up till last year, until the playoffs, of course, where he still couldn't beat Tom Brady with three interceptions thrown by the great one there, I still feel that he gets too much legacy love for whatever reason. He still only has one Super Bowl ring overall. You're like, hey, what have you done lately? And he's been a huge diva. Let's not overlook that. For everybody, he said he loves Pittsburgh on Pat McAfee's show, and everybody's like, oh, let's bring him to Pittsburgh right away. Yeah, during week four, that's going to happen with, you know, his the huge money he's going to command. And you talk about Ben handcuffing the team and needing to retire for a guy that's a year younger. Oh, well, he won the MVP. Yeah, he also like laid an egg and couldn't get it done against the Bucks. Or any of these last few NFC title games where they get there.
Yeah.
Good regular season, bad playoffs. This is what you talk about with Mike Tomlin. So I want to hear everyone just shut it for now. We'll revisit this in March if this happens to become a thing. Right now, it's not a thing. I think it's just annoying. It's going to be as annoying as hearing Tony Romo on Sunday, by the way, which, you know, I won't have to deal with that. So that's a good thing. But anyways, Steelers defense against Packers offense, Devontae Adams, he's going to be a handful as usual. The injury report, let's see. They still don't have David Bakhtiari back yet. Not that that's made a huge difference. I'm trying to see because the Steelers, of course, didn't update their website.
No, I'm looking at their injury report and everybody's still out. Nobody's practiced. And I'm like, this can't be exactly right.
Yeah, you got to go over to the Packers website. Somebody, their webmaster actually did their job. The other guys already, the webmaster for the Steelers.com has quit. He's already jumped the ship, Brian. I'm out. Let's see. Elton Jenkins was a DMP. We only have the Wednesday information, obviously, since, you know, we're here Thursday morning. So we're going to see how the rest of this goes, because last week, a lot of my pregame was prefaced on the fact that I thought TJ would give it a go. I didn't know Highsmith was going to be completely ruled out either, and I still waited for the darn Thursday report before I did the show. Kevin King, one of their starting corners, he's dealing with a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. Aaron Jones was limited with an ankle. They still have A.J. Dillon, so I think they'll be okay there. There's another weapon you have to look for. I'm not, you know, the rest of these I'm not as concerned with, but it might open up some things with that offensive line. However, the Steelers on the other end hope to get some of these players back. Ben is always a do not practice on Wednesdays, as we know.
Yep.
Will that help him anymore? I think he needs to heal. He's an old man too, so just give him the day of rest. He's a veteran. He didn't play he didn't practice like all of last week for the most part. He was limited. He had a pec injury. How much of that also went into this and what went on? Alex Highsmith limited from the groin, as is TJ Watt. So you're hoping to get both of those men back on the field. Deontay Johnson as well with the knee limited. So we'll see how that goes. Juju ribs did not practice. Juju, there's a guy that you at least have depth if he doesn't play. So that one's not concerning me. Chukwuma Okorafor, concussion protocol. I joked about this, Brian. It was a false start, and then he comes off the field and doesn't come back. They put Joe Haig out there, and I don't know. Zach Banner is now in that window of activation, practicing off of IR, 21 days in order to do so. We're going to see what he's going to do. Zach Banner, as Well, I didn't want to really get into the offense yet because I want to talk about the line and everything else with our sponsor, of course. But let's kick this over and then we'll do that. Zach Banner, who's he replacing? Because for me, the weak link on this defense, I know you said Kevin Dotson. I'm saying Okorafor has looked like 2020 Villanueva.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Dotson's the weak link. I just don't like some of what I'm seeing from him. Okorafor is, I would agree with you, is definitely the unvarnished toenail of the group.
I don't believe in all the years we've been doing this that there has been a reference to foot fetishes or whatever it is you're doing right now.
I don't know what the hell. Do you varnish toenails? I don't even know what the varnish. Hell I just said.
Well, I don't know. We're men. I don't know. I don't paint my toenails. That's something for my 8-year-old daughter to figure out right now. And she gets like the nail painting kits. Let's come back to that offensive line because we got it's going to be relevant to everything we said with this defense, which I think if healthy, you get Highsmith and Watt back out there. I'd like to see Stephon Tuitt start getting back into this mix too.
So would I.
I mean, they need him. They need him big time. And they could definitely use him for this game, but the edge pressure would definitely help that secondary a lot against Rodgers, who doesn't need a whole lot of time to do a whole lot of things, as we saw against San Francisco the other night. So 45.5 is the over-under. I say this is always the sucker bet. This might be one of those games that's in the over territory. It all depends. I don't know. The Steelers, what do you think? I mean, Steelers offense has been weak. They've had some yards. They've had some time of possession, regardless of what you think about the line and Najee Harris and Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Canada and all this and that. I still saw some things that I could pick out there that they could work and improve on. But can they get enough points? Will the Steelers defense be healthy enough to limit the Green Bay Packers? Or could this be something where these teams are just loose and you've got the two gunslingers going at it?
And I don't mean to sound negative, but I will.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm going to sound negative.
I've been negative. It's not beneath me.
If you take the over, you're counting on Green Bay scoring 40 points.
Which they've done. They've put up 30 at least in the last two after laying that egg in Jacksonville against the Saints.
There is, and I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying the offense won't surprise the hell out of us and put up some points. But I'm saying if you're going on what we've seen thus far, there is no reason to think there is going to be an explosive offensive output from the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game that would contribute to you saying, oh, it's going to be 35-28, you know, unless the defense scores, you know, 20 points.
I mean, I'm not counting on a whole lot of turnovers. No. They haven't had them either. That was the first interception with the tip drill with Minka. But, Brian, if you're going to place a bet on this game, you've got to go head on over to mybookie.ag. And, of course, the one I think the big money game this weekend, of course, is everybody's talking about it. Tom Brady returning to New England. He's in the visitors' locker room. They're calling it one of the biggest games of the year. I don't know if the New England Patriots are a formidable foe. But on paper, in the storyline, him, Brady and Gronk coming back.
Storyline-wise, I'll agree.
Yeah.
Storyline-wise. Game-wise?
That's a tough sell for me right now. And that's where everybody wants a rookie quarterback, and then they're all stinketh right now. And, man, the Falcons, even for – you know, they got roasted for taking Kyle Pitts over Justin Fields. And for one game, that doesn't, you know, look like the worst thing. Anyways, whether you're backing the Bucks or the Pats this Sunday, a little bit of whatever vomit in my throat. That's the Sunday night game, by the way, folks. So you got some time to get in on there. The Steelers, of course, playing.
Is there any free money in it?
The afternoon game. There might be. There's always incentives at MyBookie. The game is always more exciting when you've got your money on it at MyBookie. You want to get in on the action and take it to a whole new level? Well, both of these teams, all of these teams, they've got some decent games here I think you could get in on this week, like we said with the Steelers. Now, Steelers, 6.5 on the line. That's about where we saw it before with Buffalo. Not too out of the norm to have it just under a touchdown for the home team. So the bookies are still thinking here that this is going to be close, I think, with the point spread, even though the over-under is where it's at. I know you're doing the owl thing with your eyes and everything in this, but we'll see what ends up here. The folks at my bookie, they're thinking maybe you bet the under on the Tampa game here. They got 49 on that one, so that'll be interesting. That's a full touchdown to 7 points. Man, they always know how to lay these odds over there. But if you head on over to my bookie and you want to put some money down on the game, doesn't even have to be big money. You could be cheap, like Brian over here. You could bet
87 cents.
87 cents. I don't know what that pays out. Like 11 cents? I don't know. Maybe a dollar. $1, Bob.
I didn't bet that.
I'll buy that for a dollar. But if you want to, whatever you put in there, whatever you end up with, your first deposit, it gets doubled, provided you use our promo code, Steel City, all one word. Doesn't have to be caps or whatever. Just put in Steel City there at mybookie.ag and get double your first deposit and start your winning season today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. They had like the survivor pool deal, but I think that ship is now sailing since we're into week four. It's like, you know, when do you, can you start it in like week, well, I guess week 18 now. And hey, I survived one game, make some money. Yeah, sure. Why not? So, yeah, head on over there. Promo code Steel City. I'm thinking Zach Banner ends up, man, it'll be tough to just throw him on the field right away. The Packers don't have Za'Darius Smith, so this is like one, at least one thing in the Steelers' favor here when it comes to the Packers' defense and them missing some of their key players. Offensive line-wise, I think Dan Moore, I mean, for a fourth-round pick, I think Dan Moore has been good and I won't say good. None of these guys have been necessarily good.
Nobody's been good.
They're all over the place. But individually, I see growth. I see potential there. I see the same thing with Kendrick Green. Too many people are ragging on him. Kevin Dotson, as you said, maybe a little more disappointing. But more disappointing is that I anticipated this side of the line when you're looking over to the left. Just get behind these horses and run, and it hasn't been that way. And I think if push comes to shove, they could put B.J. Finney in there. They could.
They could.
And as far as the other side, Trey Turner, I think that'll come around. But I think Zach Banner would replace Chooks, not just because of the concussion protocol, which I'm always leery of some of these things. Is this just something that's like a save face type deal that's just happened? Or like what the heck happened? I don't know how he got concussed. I'm not trying to make fun of the guy, and I hope he's okay. But at the same time, because somebody will say, well, he deserved to get smacked upside his head. That was because of all the pressure and whatever. It's like, man, God, the people that are out there, you're just rotten and rude and ignorant and everything else. But Zach Banner was supposed to be a starting right tackle last season. So I think that's the more natural fit for him. And if you're going to do anything to maybe shore up this line a little bit in the interim, I think Okorafor is the guy I replace first, and I would even say Haig, who did get beat on a play too. I would rather have maybe Haig or Banner there first before I start toying with some of the other things. But if you throw Finney out there for Dotson as well, I won't be brokenhearted. It's just there's some of the people that were like, oh, somebody said he's out of shape, somebody said he's missing a playbook, and he was hurt during camp. All of these changes were made and week one's set of practices leading up to the first game. Dan Moore was still being trialed on the right side as a right tackle. You move him to left tackle. Kevin Dotson missed time during camp. Trey Turner missed time during camp. Chooks was playing on the left. This is still that they didn't get the time in at camp as that unit of those five guys together. And now you're seeing kind of the byproduct of it. It's not necessarily, I don't even want to say, somebody came out and said coaching. I forgot who it was. One of the Pittsburgh sports media now says that there's two different philosophies that are clashing with each other between Adrian Clem and his assistant. And I don't know how much of that I buy. I think everyone's just trying to scratch and claw and bite for what is only two losses so far. They just don't see anything redeemable where I'm looking at that defense that if healthy, they force some three and outs, and then, okay, the offense might still struggle, but the offense will at least get the ball, and at least it's not the Randy offense where it's always a constant three and out. They're at least getting some first downs here or there. It might take three downs to do it, which is still very aggravating to watch them run for like 2 yards on first down every single time. It's got to get mixed up. There's got to be a little more spice of life here, but I do think that laps of practice with training camp and the moving parts, and it's going to be the same way if you add Banner to this mix now or whoever. It's still going to be the same way. Is it going to be absolutely the – at the end of the year, are we going to say this is the worst line in the NFL? I mean, it's possible, but I'm not willing to write that story right now in September.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can say that they're bad right now because they are bad right now. But, again, that is not completely unexpected, right? You know, it does take time for an offensive line to gel. It takes time for an offensive line to find its identity. It takes time for these guys to communicate with each other and learn the idiosyncrasies of playing together. That is not something that happens in one training camp. Especially with the amount of moving pieces that existed. So it's definitely fair to say right now they are a bottom-tier offensive line. It is not fair to say that at the end of the season they will be in the same place because you just don't know. That's just looking at things and going, well, that's the way it is now, therefore that's the way it'll always be. No one will ever change. Nobody gets better. Everybody just sucks, and that's the end of the statement.
Yep.
Well, in that case, then we all should be wearing diapers and pooping in our pants because we never get better, right? I'm just saying, right? If we never grow, we never learn.
Oh, we never grow.
So,
okay.
You know, if we never grow and we never get any better at things, then we all should be just wandering around going,
yeah, but Brian, that's where we end up, maybe in a nursing home, and that's what some people are saying about Ben Roethlisberger, is that it's time for him to retire because he's headed backwards in that direction.
I don't think
that's fair either.
It's not fair to say, considering what is going on around him, who he had to throw to in the last game, the offensive line play in the last game, the fact that there is still no running game because the offensive line is not getting blocks for Najee Harris to actually consistently run the ball.
Or they're getting tagged with the holding call.
Yeah. I mean, every time that they get a decent run, it's because somebody gets called for holding. Look. And some of those are legit, and some of them aren't. You know.
The offensive lineman, it's like, hey, or the defensive lineman, like, spins around, shakes it, you know, waves his hand, and they throw the hanky, which is fun. Let me cut in real quick.
I know, we got a horrible
Scott Novak has thrown 60, his crew has thrown 60 flags in three games, averaging 20.
Just wait for yellow to be everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be, for those who got to listen to compact discs or CDs, or in your case, the records, and they get scratched and the music skips, and you can't listen to a song clean.
What are you talking about, man? I listen to 8-tracks.
Hey, you can find them cheaply at any flea market near you. don't expect – my analogy here just got completely ruined. But, hey, for the kids on the Spotify, you have the bad internet connection and it's buffering your song and you can't enjoy your music. That is precisely the way I view this game coming up with this crew. It is going to
be... Yeah, get ready for a 4.5-hour game.
A 4.5-hour game with no rhythm, flow, or momentum, which actually could benefit the Steelers as well. So we'll see how that ends up working out. So back to you, Brian. I had to throw Scott Novak under the bus there because, man, and they've had Jerome Boger and Cleet Blakeman in the last 2 weeks too. And it's like, is there any... It's like half of the NFL crews I complain about. It's like there's just not a whole lot of anybody. It's quality. Look, and then their directives on taunting and missing some other calls in other games, delay a game and everything else. It's just,
They stink.
It's so
uncalled for. I'm going to continue to say they stink, but I will also continue to say they're not why you lose games.
Not yet.
Except for Jesse caught it. But.
Pat caught it the other day.
Yes.
Very similar play.
Yeah, they stink. They just flat out stink. I just want them to be consistent. Like I've said this all along. I don't care if you're bad, as long as you're consistently bad. Always make the same bad calls. Don't make good calls and sometimes bad calls and sometimes good calls and don't call the same damn thing two different ways. Just be consistent, whatever you're going to do. That's all I care about.
Cleet got the makeup call for the roughing on Ben because the other one was pretty bad. That was against Joe Burrow, and, of course, that went for 7 on the board right before half. You know, that one drove me nuts.
But that was a legit – I mean, he got hit in the head. Now, what's scary is 99% of the time they don't make that call because they just go, Ben can take it. Okay, whatever. But if that was a roughing call against Brady, a roughing call against Rodgers, a roughing call against, you know, anybody that is considered a top tier quarterback. Oh, they touched his helmet. They briefly touched it. That's a flag. Roughing. You know, generally, you know what? Ben can get punched in the nose and they won't call it. But yeah. Be that as it may. Yes, the roughing call against Burrow was so bad. One of the worst calls I have ever seen. But again, not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they played terrible.
No, they still had an opportunity. It didn't help by any means, and Ben's turnover. So when we're looking at this overall, the Steelers, I mean, we've been talking heavy on Steelers offense, defense. We haven't talked as much about the Packers and some of the matchups. Let's go at least, since we started, let's go with the Packers defense, I guess, since we're already here at the Steelers offense. Two pretty solid outside linebackers here with Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. The secondary, I think, is pretty solid as well. We'll see if Kevin King gets back out there. If not, I'm interested. I'm not sure if his primary backup is the rookie Eric Stokes by per chance. So, but Jaire Alexander and Kevin King make up the combo of the starting corners with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage, who is a Savage player at safety. He's a guy that's all over the place too. I still think the Steelers could attack this front. You've got Za'Darius Smith. I would hope they do, at least. They got to get something going. At least, I think part of something that opened up this past weekend was, although it was 19 targets and a lot of dump-offs to Najee Harris, when you start to get him out there, maybe you could get some of these guys to back off, or maybe if they start to move forward, you can go down the field. Ben has just not been connecting. I don't know that it's necessarily always accuracy. Some of it, Eric Ebron dropping the ball. Chase Claypool's got to hold on to the ball as well. There's still been some drops, not the biggest ones. His a bit more, in Claypool's case, kind of combat catches there, you know what I mean? So he's been fighting for the ball, and it gets knocked away, and it's a good play by the other DB. I'm more or less referencing the Raiders game. But Ben wasn't looking at James Washington at all for whatever reason last Sunday. Right. And if you look, they're finally getting some of the All-22 up there. If you start to count in seconds, Ben sometimes is getting 4, 5, 6 seconds. He's not getting 10 seconds like Joe Burrow had on Sunday, which is a major issue. You rush Joe a little more like you did at the beginning of the game, and you see what happened with Minka and Terrell Edmonds. I don't see that happening with Aaron Rodgers. It could happen. It's going to have to be one of his receivers has butterfingers, doesn't hold on to the ball, or something of that nature. But the Packers' defense against the Steelers' offense, let's see if they can get something going here. But those two edge guys are pretty strong. I'm going to see some of the pocket collapse here. Does he have enough time to get it downfield? Is there going to be enough separation? Chase Claypool hasn't had separation either. This has been something very much of note. Juju says they've been taken away. Teams have been taken away in the middle of the field. How do you fix that? You send Najee out to the flat. Maybe Anthony McFarland's another guy that might come off of IR. They had a lot of packages with two running backs in training camp. A lot of pass plays and stuff that went to McFarland, not necessarily just run plays, but it keeps teams guessing. They've got all the motion and movement there. We haven't seen a whole lot of play action again. That was another thing that we were really complaining about, and these were things they worked on in training camp that all of a sudden I think went out the window. I think they go out the window because they get behind in these games, and all of a sudden it reverts back to we got to pass the ball in order to catch up, and then all of a sudden there's it,
play no action doesn't work if you can't run. So because nobody honors, right? They don't don't fake anybody out with a play action pass if they know that you can't run the damn ball.
And running it just in the middle of the pile on first down doesn't necessarily help either. And those holes, they close quick. I think Najee's still learning. But Najee creates yards too. It's just a matter of there's not volume there. And so when there's not volume, of course, you're going to be near the bottom of the league because you're back into being just, let's throw the ball 50. What did Ben do? 54, 58? Something ridiculous last week. So, and you know what? It's inconsequential. We know it was a lot of passes. So I just look at it that way that this team still over the last few years hasn't been as strong when Ben is relied upon to throw that many times, or Mason or Duck, whoever else was in there. They got to get back to maybe hammering the ball a little bit it is every run play going to be, you know, chunks and chunks? It never works that way in the NFL. I don't care who you are. Derrick Henry gets stopped at the line of scrimmage or for a yard or two here or there. It's just something you got to get some type of rhythm, and hopefully you can get that offensive line in rhythm too, because they need those reps as well. When they're not getting those reps and they're only doing 10 run blocking plays, yeah, of course they're going to suck. Because they may only have like two of those that were actual good run block. They meet their assignments. Because I saw the one, and I'm trying to think. Somebody came right. It might have been Sam Hubbard or I forget who it was off the Bengals. But it was something where I think Turner pulled, and somebody came right around a core four. Like completely, there was the unblocked. And it caught Najee like right on the back end of the line. He might as well just taken the snap. And that's the type of stuff that's out of sync execution-wise, but it's also happening because they're not getting enough time in with these things. So we'll see there, Brian. I'll let you get the complete thoughts here, too. Let's jump real quick, too, since we're up against it, my friend, as we don't want to be too long-winded. But offense versus defense, Packers offense. We mentioned Davante Adams. We mentioned some things with this offensive line. We'll see who's healthy and who's out there for the Packers. You know, you got guys like John Runyon that have been playing for a minute. So they've got some veterans along this line. We'll see what ends up happening. But you get T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith out there. Then I think it's a little more evenly matched because obviously you're basically talking about the Packers offense against the Steelers defense, and those could be two kind of top units. Now, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has been hurt too, but Randall Cobb is back with Green Bay. He's a veteran player. He's smart. You know, he's up there in his years. He isn't the Randall Cobb that he used to be, but Aaron Rodgers lobbied to bring him back because he was always one of his favorite targets in the slot. So that's somebody you're going to have to keep an eye on. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, they got a pair of tight ends that could do some damage. They do it in the most unexpected ways, usually. This isn't Darren Waller, but these are guys that could still score TDs when called upon. And, of course, we mentioned Aaron Jones as well and A.J. Dillon. So they got two competent running backs there against the Steelers defense. The Steelers defense is pretty much I think you've got to lean on the Steelers defense to help win this game because we can't count on the offense. And we don't know that the offense scored 20 points because the first game in Buffalo, 23, that was off of special teams block punt. Nope. So they haven't scored 20 yet. So you can't rely on them to score 20. Steelers defense got to put a lid on the Packers offense. So that's why we're so heavy on talking about Steelers defense. We're talking about offensive line to get this thing going. We'll see if Ben can make some more decisions, get rid of the ball quicker. Those are my keys to the game. Over to you, my friend.
It's really going to depend on who's playing. I mean, you hate to say that, but if we're going to send out a defensive unit that is minus TJ and minus Alex Highsmith, that is, you know, going to be limited in that way, guess what? We're probably not winning this game. I mean, it's quite
a sad
that simple.
Reality. What are you going to do?
I mean, just
you
a fact.
You didn't do it against the Bengals, and you're going to go on the road and do it in Green Bay. I don't see it either. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's not the same team. It's the preseason team.
Yeah, it's absolutely not the same team. You need that rotation of Highsmith, Ingram, and TJ to keep those guys fresh and to keep consistent pressure coming in on quarterbacks. You're not going to get it from Ingram, Jones, and Tuska. Did I get his name
Tuska,
right?
Like Tuska. Tuska.
Whatever his name. I'm just going to call him. I'm going to call him ND State. That's what I'm going to call him. and it's no disrespect. He could turn into a player, right? He could turn into somebody down the road. But not from what I saw yesterday or the other day. Anyway.
I still have more promise for him than Cassius Marsh, however.
Well, yeah, come on. that's not a fair comparison. He's tough.
Jarvis Jones.
I can't tell whether North Dakota State stinks yet or not. I'll find out as we go by. But that's the bottom line. Who's going to play? Look, you're absolutely right in saying I can't count. We can't count. Nobody can count on the offense to do anything consistently. Maybe they'll have a nice drive. Maybe they'll put up somewhere around 17 points on offense. Maybe if the defense can get some turnovers, they'll put up more if they're in the right position to do so. But if you're expecting this offense to drive the field 80-something, 70-something yards multiple times during this game, then you're dreaming. That's not going to happen. So it is absolutely true that the defense is going to have to dictate the flow of this game. The defense is going to have to is going to be the deciding factor in the outcome of this game. And the sad truth is, whether that can happen or not will depend on whether the individuals that have not been able to play are able to play and able to play at something like their normal level of performance.
That's pretty good. You gave me a great idea just for a quick minute here. Line of scrimmage, Packers 49ers, Green Bay for most intents and purposes here. They started on their own 25, score a field goal, started on their 20, score a touchdown. So 8 plays, 54 yards. There were some penalties in there too. 7 for 80. On their 10, they punt. They got over to San Francisco 32, turnover on downs. They were on their own 13, drove, touchdown. 23-yard line, their own 23 was a punt. Their own 14, a touchdown. They're driving the field. They're on 25, and then, of course, they started on their own 25 with 37 seconds and come back. The Steelers, by contrast, you get the Steelers on their 25, they punt. You get them on their 20, they punt. They were at their 44, and what, 3 plays, and Ben throws one of the picks. Their 25, a punt. Their 14, they score a touchdown. That was the one right before half. On the 25, this was one of the 3 and outs here. Punt. The first quarter was actually bad. I know I said that it wasn't as many 3 and outs, but it's not at least half of them. You're going to have, I think, some 3 and outs. You get that on both sides. You get that even with the Packers here or there. So, and they're not the most explosive offense in the NFL by any means, I don't think. You see what happened with the Chiefs as well. So, Pittsburgh, let's see. They're 25, punt, 14, touchdown, 25, punt, 25, interception. That was a short field. So they gave Cincinnati a short field on more than one occasion there. That shoots yourself in the foot. On the 24, this is the missed field goal by Boswell. Leave points on the board. Get a field goal after driving 95 yards, starting at your 4-yard line. A possession that took 9 minutes and 3 seconds a clock in 18 plays. And then another 12 plays, 73 yards, turnover on downs. From their 15. So the Steelers have moved the ball down the field, but a field position battle would be more preferred here. That's why I said the defense got to put a lid on it and inch that offense a little closer, at least towards the 50-yard line and into Green Bay territory. Make those shorter fields so they don't have to, like I said, it was like pulling teeth watching the offense, and that's why, because the field position battle has absolutely blown. And I'm also going to be counting on our thick punter. We don't need like any shags here or anything like that. He's had some tremendous plays, but there's been one or two that have been off too. And I'm just going to say rookie growing pain. Still, I think above the line from Jordan Berry, who made similar mistakes, but at least you're getting the ball pinned within the 20. There's been some that have been real short fields. Those are the type of things that need to be done, Brian. Hey, man, thanks for joining me once again. Your closing thoughts, my friend.
My closing thoughts are, don't jump off the ship yet. Even though we might see some water leaking in, it's not time to panic and get the boats out. Wait a couple more weeks and see where the team goes. They can grow. They can get better, because that's what human beings do. They improve as time goes by. Give them a chance to grow a little bit. This is a very young group, especially on the O-line. So, you know, it may be painful to watch for a few weeks, but hopefully it won't be by the end of the season, and we'll still have something to cheer for. So we'll see. But yeah, let's just hope and pray Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt get to play this weekend.
Yeah, and I think even Deontay, because you made we glossed over that Cody White.
They need Deontay.
Cody White came in, and I thought was, you know, I thought he did a solid job for the 2 catches, the 2 targets that he had. But you're counting on Cody White and Ray McLeod as part of your 3 wide receiver set. That's also a hit.
That's you need Juju out there. You need Deontay out there. That's the only way Chase is going to start to get some. You know, if Deontay's out there drawing attention, then you can't double Chase. If Juju's in the slot and drawing attention, again, you have to decide pick your poison. If one of those guys is off, all of a, and you replace him with a much lesser component, it just doesn't work as well. So they need to be healthy. They need to have their full component, especially going into a place like Lambeau. But if they don't, they don't, and we'll see what happens.
How brokenhearted are you if the Steelers come out of this game 1-3? I think it really depends on the situation, right? If it's like a close game, let's say like a game they played in New Orleans a few years ago, we're more mad about calls still in that game than we are, but the result of the loss. As long as I think that we see some, if they're competitive, let's say they put up 21, 24 points and lose like 30-24. And let's say Ben still throws a pick or something and shoots him. I would still be okay with that because I think that the rest of the schedule, some of the teams that are coming up, they definitely have a chance then. If they go out there and they only kick two field goals or something and get the doors blown off them, then the ship is like starting to capsize and people need the life rafts. There's some meme out there
with the little dog cartoon character sitting there and the world is burning around him. That's the one I mentioned earlier, man.
Were you sleeping?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Like, you could have mentioned it and I wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about because I don't know who the cartoon character is.
I'm ignorant of it too. Somebody could educate us on that. But he's just sitting there. And he's like, it's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. That may be how we feel at the end of next week. You said brokenhearted. At this point, I'm not going to be brokenhearted no matter what happens. I will be angry because when they lose, I get angry. But if they lose ugly, I'll be more angry and disgusted. And nobody will want to hear me talk on the next podcast.
Everybody will because they're going to want to pile on like they piled on me. And don't attack me. I wear Steelers stuff. I'm not responsible for what goes on out there on the field. It's like, that's the things I think that make me even more angry. The rest of this, it's just a game, man. It's like, try and enjoy it. Try.
As I said on Twitter during the game, it's like, I am a fan. I can be angry. I can actually believe that they're not going to win, but I'll never actually give up. Right. It's still going to be like, I'm going to watch till the last play, no matter how bad it is. I'm going to watch until the last second ticks away. And until the last second ticks away, I'm still going to hope that they have a chance to figure out how to win. But I also can be realistic when I'm sitting here talking about it and go, I don't know. This is going to be rough. But
well, let me ask you that. Am I too positive in thinking some of these things? I know I asked you, can it be fixed? I don't feel necessarily hopeless. Okay, it's Green Bay, perennial contender. I understand what you're up against. I'm not going out there and saying they're going to win this week. I know 1-3 is a hole, but I also see the rest of the AFC North. The Bengals win an overtime game. I saw the fashion of it. The Ravens climb to another victory. Like I said, the Tucker field goal. I saw the Browns play two subpar teams so far on their schedule. Like, I don't think that they're so far out of the race with only one AFC North game already played. And they got some of these coming in a few weeks, so they're not like immediately going into a division schedule where they're beaten down, they're still trying to figure things out. They may have a chance to collect a few division wins and still be in the hunt here. That's the reason why. I mean, am I out of my mind?
I'm going to say something to tick you off.
Maybe.
Right now?
Yeah.
The Browns are the best team in this division. Right now.
I mean, it doesn't tick me off.
That's not necessarily going to necessarily stay the truth, but right now the team that's playing the best within this division is the Cleveland Browns. The Baltimore Ravens don't look that great. They've struggled in almost every game they've been in. They're devastated with injuries all over the place. The Bengals are the Bengals. Look, they beat us, but we stink right now. We only have half a team.
And the Bengals have a home game against the 0-3 Jaguars, so they're going to be in the lead of this division as everyone predicted heading in to week one.
But look, Cleveland is playing decent ball, right? They have ups and downs, but as you watch what they're doing, Garrett is playing really well. They're playing fairly consistently. Stupid Baker Mayfield, who I don't like and never have, is not making stupid Baker Mayfield mistakes the way he normally has consistently.
Okay.
but consistently. That's
product
he
of
will
who
always
they're playing
make
too.
Some. Yeah. Yeah, it is partly.
Yeah,
it is partly. But remember, they all. Well, I mean, what do you? I mean, think about it this way: you, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you came into this season thinking you're going to Super Bowl, and you stink.
A lot of the same problems. I mean, you mentioned this. We've mentioned this too. Aside from the Browns, have the best offensive line in the division. They're the most stable. And that's the thing that's, you know, the Bengals are dealing with that. The Ravens are dealing with that. The Chiefs are dealing with that. It's not just the Steelers thing and everybody that says, well, Kevin Colbert didn't do this. My last reminder before we sign off here, Brian, was they were expecting David DeCastro to be healthy and play this year too. He is an elite player. And report to camp, sorry, not going to be able to cut it. They have to cut him. That's rough. That's turned into some other things when it comes to being able to sign some players and some of the other moves that have been made to allow them to have, like, Melvin Ingram. And we see what happens when they're healthy with Highsmith and Watt and how they can rotate Ingram in and how that helps that pass rush as well. That's what's missing. It's not the same team that played in Buffalo and is by any means.
Not at all.
So they need that team back on the field. They can get some semblance of it if some of these gentlemen can get healthy. So that's pretty much my notes. The Browns, healthy. They're not dealing with any problems there. You still put pressure on Baker. He's still full. Well, I should say, I lost Jarvis Landry to replace him with Odell Beckham, who made one of those ridiculous, stupid back shoulder catches again last week that we see. But we'll see what happens. I'm just saying, I think the Bengals are the surprise. The Ravens, of course, I was speaking to some of their moving parts and rebuilding their offensive line, and then they lose like a whole ton of players to IR. They've been really snake bitten with injuries. So for me to whine and complain about the Steelers, at least for our intents and purposes, we hope it's a temporary situation. Theirs is more of a permanent situation that, you know, they still come out with the victory. They still came out with that victory. Ridiculous fourth down. Still, I'm not getting into it. There'll be somebody that's here that's a 2%er and happens to not be a Steelers fan that's going to call me out on it. But we all know. We all saw it. Brian, thanks for joining me once again, my friend.
Always a pleasure. I miss being on here and talking to the folks. But, you know, life is busy right now.
Oh, I know. And so has been mine. And I've been with all the travel. And we'll see how we connect again for the post game too, because not to brag or anything, I'll be amongst the cheeseheads.
We'll at least get to see each other on that Sunday night game, Seattle, because I'm going to be there for that one. That'll be the first game I get to this year. Oh, you're not going?
I don't know that I'm going to make it to that one now, so we'll see, man. I know. See how the schedule always ends up. I try to tell everyone. Well, I think some people were starting to think, well, Steelers aren't doing so hot. Brian jumped ship. He hasn't been on the show.
No, not never. Never. Just been busy.
I know, as have I. So you might have to hold down the fort here at the beginning of next week. So be prepared for it, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's more of a caution to the our loyal 2%ers and listeners. If it's just me, be ready.
Yeah, cats away, the mice will play. Well, that being,
you never know what kind of crap you're gonna get with that.
Well, folks, you heard it from both of us. My name's Joe, and his name's Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and only leave good comments and good ratings. And don't come after me. I'm not a general manager, coach, or quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nor is Brian. That is our disclaimer. Do not hurt yourself. Do not jump off a bridge following some of the other crazy fans. No, we don't need mock drafts showing us which quarterbacks the Steelers are going to take as a value in the third round. That's automatically going to be Roethlisberger's replacement and better than Rudolph or Haskins. Neither of which we want to see on the field either ahead of Roethlisberger, unless he's out there literally like Lazarus risen from the dead after being killed on the field. So with all of that said, we encourage everyone out there, as always, to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.